Good Shabbos, everybody. Our Torah portion is Tzav, and you can find it on page 613. What a great number. What a great number. So there's a lot of detail in this parsha, as we've had for the last number of weeks. And this Torah portion today includes a description of the ordination, or the smicha, if you will, of Aaron and his sons, the very first ancient Israelite priests. The word smicha comes from a root word meaning to lean, as in the laying on of hands. Aaron and his sons placed their hands on a ram, which was then slaughtered. Blood from the ram is painted along their ears, their thumbs, and their big toes, perhaps representing the charge to seek holiness in everything that they hear, in all that their hands create, and in every place where they walk. When I had my bat mitzvah just a few years ago, I still remember how Rabbi Stamfer placed his hands on my head as he spoke words that were to give me a blessing for for my bat mitzvah. And my first reaction was, stop rocking. It very quickly shifted. I went from that, oh, this is not comfortable, to something more that was more than a bunch of words just being tossed out at me. There was something else. There was something richer. There was something more. I think, and I'm not sure because it was a while ago, that there was somehow some kind of wisdom emanating from Rabbi Stamfer's hands, some kind of holiness, some kind of blessing that was beyond the words that he was saying. And I couldn't understand it, and I don't know if to this day, if I were to receive such a blessing again, that I would fully understand the feeling that I had. But I do know that in that moment, it was transformative. Something changed inside me. And ever since that time, I've been fascinated with this notion of blessing, this giving of blessing, but also the receiving of blessings. How often do we each bless other people? Some of us, we bless our children on Shabbos right after we light the candles, and that's very special. But it, at least from, you know, from a parental standpoint, but it isn't quite the same. We say Gesundheit or Labriut or bless you when somebody sneezes. But still, that isn't really what I'm interested in. This notion of transmitting blessing and learning how to receive a blessing is important, but also this notion of priestly behavior in the giving of blessings. So that's what I'm interested in reading Tzav. When you turn to a few pages, through a few pages, you'll see this kind of bizarre set of rituals for the ordainment of these high priests, and it lasts 7 days. Seven is a meaningful number, whether you're into gematria or not. We see 7 days reappear with frequency. Think of 6 days of creation culminating in the seventh day, which is Shabbat. The seven colors of the rainbow, the 7 weeks of the Omer between Pesach and Shavuot, the multiples of seven that appear over and over again. The Hebrew word for seven, sheva, contains the same root letters as the verb that means to swear an oath or take on a covenant. With 7 days of ordination, Aaron and his sons entered into a covenant of service to the children of Israel, us, and to God. And here we are this morning on the seventh day in the morning, reading about ancient priests and these weird ordination rituals. But we don't know from priests. We have rabbis, we have cantors, we have a few kohanim, but we really don't know from this ritual and the ways in which the priests served in the Mishkan and later in the Holy Temple. If we go back in time to Exodus in chapter 19, we are taught that this hereditary priesthood of old isn't the only kind of priesthood. In fact, there we are instructed to be mamlechet kohanim, to be a nation of priests, meaning that every one of us sitting here today is a priest. We're called into some sort of holy service. Shabbat, as the seventh day, in some ways could be seen as our ordination into the priesthood. And every Shabbat we're reminded then of what that means. So what does that mean? Should I go get a ram for us? Shall we slaughter it? Shall we, you know, put blood on our ears and blood on our thumbs and blood on our toes? Anybody want to join me? Not so much. Okay. That's okay. I don't really want to do it either. That was their ordination. But what I wondered about is what was their actual training? That they inherited this status. But what was their training? How did they know what to do to become a priest? What was their teaching? And if we are to be priests, what is our training? What is our teaching? I really like the idea that we're democratizing priesthood. We still need our rabbis. We still need our cantors. We still need those people who serve our community in holy ways. But just because we can claim this idea of mamlechet kohanim, it doesn't really make us priests any more than me saying, I'm a doctor or I'm president. It doesn't make me one. The Baal Shem Tov taught us that access to God doesn't really depend on our mastery of Talmud. The Baal Shem Tov taught us that God is available to all of us, no matter who we are or what we know, that connection to God is for all of us, for every single one of us, that deep spirituality is available to each one of us, that Jewish joy is available to each one of us. But the question still remains, what is the inner work we should be doing to become priests? How do we work on ourselves in order to become priests? If we are called upon to be mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh, a nation of priests and a holy people, then no less than Aaron, we are really being called into some kind of holy service. Maybe that service takes the form of leading services sometimes. And you're not surprised to hear me say that since I'm nudging you all the time, please help. Maybe that service takes the form of welcoming others to our services. Sandy's out there right now. Rabbi Kosak is at the door welcoming people, opening our shul to welcome each other. Maybe that service takes the form of leading davening, giving a drash, teaching someone how to chant a prayer, teaching somebody how to lane Torah. Or maybe it's inviting somebody for Shabbos dinner. Maybe that's a priestly act. Maybe priestly service takes the form of taking action to protect our environment or to practice social justice by feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, providing loving care for the sick, or going forward to fight for legislation to adjust public policy to benefit those who have no voice. I think that when we are taught to be mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh, we are obligated to purposefully pursue priestly behavior. It means we have to listen closely to the needs of everyone around us. It means we have to be responsive to the needs of those around us. We can seek to listen in a way that's holy. We can try to build structures, both physical and metaphysical, in a way that is holy, allowing us to walk on paths of righteousness in a way that's holy. In today's parsha, Aaron and his sons have their earlobes painted with blood as an embodied bracha for holy listening. They have their thumbs painted with blood as an embodied bracha for holy building. And in this week's parsha, Aaron and his sons have their big toes painted with blood as an embodied bracha for holy walking. As Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel described it, they're praying with their feet, and so should we. These brachot are all part of a reminder and part of our training that we are mamlechet kohanim. And so if you would indulge me for just a moment, take one hand and stroke your ear. Give me thumbs up. Wiggle your toes. I can't see if you're doing that. Wiggle your toes. May we truly become a nation of priests. May we empower each other to become mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. May we seek holiness in all that we hear, in all that our hands can create, and in every place that we walk.